Imagine a country that perfectly recovered from financial collapse with rising wages and low unemployment, yet witnessed larger protests after recovery than during the crisis itself. This paradox played out in Iceland, where 2017 saw massive demonstrations triggered by the Panama Papers, revealing elite tax evasion despite the economy thriving. This pattern repeats globally. Economic indicators improve while public anger intensifies. From France's yellow vests to Hong Kong's mass demonstrations, traditional metrics suggest prosperity while people feel increasingly betrayed by systemic inequities. When Barack Obama left office, he warned that democracy's greatest threat wasn't terrorism, but extreme economic inequality and stagnation. This observation proved remarkably accurate as waves of anger swept across the globe. What makes this exploration of economic anger compelling is its refusal to dismiss populist rage as irrational. Instead, it recognizes how legitimate grievances arise from an economic system that has fundamentally failed most citizens while enriching a select few. Public anger manifests in two distinct forms. Moral outrage serves as a righteous response to injustice, like Icelanders protesting corruption or climate activists demanding action. This form of anger often leads to constructive social change. Tribal rage, conversely, enforces group identity and turns violent, focusing on us versus them narratives rather than specific grievances. Private anger differs fundamentally, characterized by shame and requiring help rather than redress. While we proudly display moral outrage as a badge of honor, private anger remains hidden, stemming from personal stress, financial insecurity, and uncertainty. This manifests in rising rates of anxiety, depression, and substance abuse. What makes our current situation explosive is how these forms of anger interact and amplify each other. Economic crashes generate legitimate moral outrage, but this gets weaponized into tribal rage by opportunistic politicians. Meanwhile, private stress accumulates as people face increasingly precarious employment and diminishing safety nets. The result is a volatile mixture that traditional politics seems incapable of diffusing. Modern politics has evolved into a sophisticated game of mobilizing passionate minorities to secure narrow electoral victories. Democracy often functions as rule by minority with protections rather than simple majority rule. Angry voters show up at polls at significantly higher rates, sometimes 15-20% higher than their non-angry counterparts, making the cultivation of tribal anger an increasingly attractive political strategy. The 2016 Trump victory exemplifies this approach. The margin came down to approximately 80,000 votes across three states, less than 1% of total votes cast. The campaign balanced addressing legitimate economic concerns while simultaneously amplifying tribal tensions around immigration, trade, and cultural change. The intersection of tribal politics with legitimate economic grievances creates an especially volatile mixture. Consider Pedro and Valeria in Spain, who followed society's prescribed path to middle-class security by taking out a mortgage, only to lose everything in the 2008 financial crisis. Meanwhile, they watched as banks received massive government bailouts, socialism for the rich, and bankruptcy for the poor. Their experience, multiplied across millions of similar cases, generated profound moral outrage and institutional distrust. Political disempowerment fundamentally drives public anger in modern democracies. Two trends have undermined national policymaking power: globalization limiting what nation-states can accomplish, and authority transfers to independent institutions like central banks and international organizations. This erosion of democratic accountability has created a gulf between citizens and decision-makers. The 2008 financial crisis exposed these tensions. Technocratic governance lost credibility, particularly in Europe, where unelected bureaucrats implemented harsh austerity measures, causing unemployment rates above 25% across southern Europe. In the U.S., the crisis discredited financial deregulation while reinforcing perceptions that government primarily protects powerful interests, bank bailouts versus minimal help for underwater homeowners. Inequality operates on both material and psychological levels. When the top 1% capture 90% of income gains, while their share of national wealth grows from 8% to 28% over 3 decades, people notice, especially when essential costs like healthcare and education skyrocket while wages stagnate. This becomes acute when people feel they followed society's rules, getting educated, working hard, saving, only to be left behind while apparent rule breakers prosper through financial engineering and political connections. While macro crashes generate public anger, private anger stems from personal stressors that have intensified in recent decades. Humans develop habits to navigate familiar environments efficiently, but struggle when forced to adapt to changes. Environmental disruptions require cognitive effort that becomes increasingly stressful, particularly for older people more invested in established practices. Consider Francesca's story, a 78-year-old retired academic distressed by Florence's transformation from her childhood memories. Traditional shops closing, noisy bars opening, and Eastern European workers replacing locals created a world changing too rapidly for her comfort. Her cancer diagnosis brought partial relief from the cognitive effort required to adapt to this changing environment. Competition has intensified dramatically since the 1970s, affecting not just labor but capital itself. These competitive pressures get passed on to workers through zero-hours contracts, minimum-wage jobs, and the gig economy, creating what one worker aptly described as your GDP, not ours, economic growth that benefits shareholders while workers face constant threats of plant closures and offshoring. Addressing economic anger requires innovative solutions beyond traditional political divides. National wealth funds offer a revolutionary approach by leveraging negative real interest rates, where the private sector pays governments to borrow. By issuing bonds at these rates and investing in global equities yielding 4 to 6%, governments could generate substantial wealth over 10-15 years. This wealth could be distributed as individual trust funds to the 80% of households with fewest assets, designated for specific purposes: housing down payments, education, healthcare savings, and business startups. Households might receive $50,000 to $100,000 in restricted assets, transforming their economic security. Additionally, a data dividend could treat personal data as property that tech companies pay to access. Governments could license this access and invest proceeds in shares of these companies, with equal dividends paid to all citizens who grant data access, ensuring people benefit from both tech services and their financial success. The COVID-19 pandemic rapidly moved many previously radical proposals to center stage. Countries implemented direct cash transfers to households, central banks introduced dual interest rates, and governments took equity stakes in struggling firms. Perhaps most remarkably, widespread fiscal stimulus replaced austerity even in traditionally conservative countries. Addressing collective anger is a prerequisite to tackling major challenges like climate change, as tribal instincts currently obstruct meaningful policy action. A new politics must explicitly recognize inherently distributional outcomes rather than pursuing technocratic win-win solutions that have consistently failed the majority. By reclaiming the power of the state for public benefit rather than private interests and building new institutions that combine national sovereignty with international cooperation, we can transform economic anger into a constructive force. This requires reimagining the nation-state not as a barrier to progress, but as an essential vehicle for democratic accountability and innovation. The path forward lies not in dismissing anger, but in channeling it toward creating an economy that truly works for everyone.